Friday night, and I find myself again on the bustling drag of Rainy. I pull off to the side, taking in all the splendor I could be enjoying if I weren't behind the wheel of Scarlet. Or I could go home and rest, like my doctor keeps telling me to. But there are bills to be paid. I pull up the Imp Driver app to double-check the name I'll be punctuating with fake enthusiasm when my passenger plops into the back seat. Screen reads, Kara. I stored the name in my memory, but I'll toss it out once the journey from A to B is over. As a woman approaches, I contemplate calling it a night. Unfortunately, she opens the door and my window of opportunity closes. So much for that rest. The woman slips into the empty seat and basks in the cool air circulating through Scarlet. The heat can be unforgiving in Texas, especially after drinking and dancing for hours on end. I say my line. Kara? The woman promptly responds, Camille. I shake my head. Kara. Drunk as she is, she manages to recognize that Camille and Kara do not sound the same. With an apology, she exits Scarlet. I wish her a good night, and she closes the door. I wait, scanning the street for my passenger. At this point, it'd be rude to cancel, especially since I'm already here. Though there are many potential Karas, none seem to look in my direction in that, oh, that's my ride, sort of way. It's not until I turn to look out the back window that I see her. The blonde girl stands next to the back door. I can't see her face, but her body language screams apprehension. She reaches out hesitantly, the polar opposite of Cassandra or Camille, whatever her name was. The woman's hand pauses on the handle. After taking a few seconds to summon the courage, she opens the door and slides in, placing a pink cowgirl hat on the seat next to her. Time for my line.
Kara?
It's Kara.
Sorry.
Damn. I even practice and everything. I apologize half-heartedly. In the rear view, I see she's already submerged in her phone. Though things are weird for a second or two, I've been driving long enough that a couple awkward seconds don't really faze me. I throw Scarlet in drive and pull off the curb. My after-hours playlist is reserved for nights like this. It consists of bombastic songs, irresistible to those prone to sing along or jam out at a moment's notice. Not even a peep from the back. Flute and synthesizer ooze from the speakers. And I don't remember putting this song on the playlist. It doesn't really fit. But I'm not mad at it. Generally, I prefer to leave my passengers to their own thoughts during most rides, but for some reason, I felt compelled to strike up a conversation.
Jeez, this is a long song.
Excuse me?
Not my smoothest re-entry into a dialogue, but oh well. There's a long pause, and I think she's resubmerged into her phone, but then she speaks up.
Is this the same song that was playing when I got in the car?
Not sure. I think it's off that Tyler, the Creator album. I could change it if you want.
No, it's okay. I'm into it.
Hey, sorry for messing up your name.
It's fine. Happens all the time.
I get that. I had this band teacher in middle school.
I played the flute in middle school. What about you?
What about me?
What instrument did you play?
Clarinet.
Huh. I took you more for a saxophone or trumpet guy.
Well, I wanted to play trumpet, but I couldn't figure it out, so I tried the clarinet, and for whatever reason, it just fit. But that didn't really matter. I had this band teacher, Mr. Franklin, who kept calling me Silas, and one day I got sick of it and corrected him. Raised my hand and said, it's Cyrus. Should have seen the look on his face. Like I'd cursed him out in front of everybody.
Wow. Sounds like he really sucked.
Yeah.
Think he's still teaching?
Most likely. Still messing up kids' names left and right.
Start to feel a little more relaxed.
So, how's your night?
My friends ditched me while I was in the bathroom to go to a spot some guys told them about, which is where we're headed now.
That sucks. But we're only 2 minutes away.
Sorry, my friends changed their mind and headed back to Rainy.
Give her the standard no worries and turn around at the next block.
Alcohol and out-of-towners aren't a great mix.
Bachelorette party?
How did you know?
This ain't my first rodeo. At some point, the party gets separated. It's just to be expected. Plus,
I motion to the cowgirl hat on the seat beside her. She holds up her hands.
You got me, partner.
So, you get to play tour guide, huh?
Yep. I've been in Austin for 6 years now. Came here for school, got a job in marketing, met a girl, which ended badly. Like, real bad. Got a cat, got a new place, and now my friends are here to visit.
I've heard variations on this theme hundreds of times, and I'm a little surprised to find I'm genuinely interested in what Kara has to say.
Sorry about the breakup. I've been through a few nasty ones myself.
Do you make it a habit to apologize for the world's problems, or is this just a special exception for me?
Oh, they didn't tell you? Everything is really my fault.
Kara merely rolls her eyes and continues.
I had a feeling that she was cheating. It turned out I was right. Hence the cat. And the new place.
It's hard out there. If it makes it feel any better, my love life hasn't been all that great either. There was this one girl my friends kept trying to convince me I was going to get murdered. And then there was this other one. She had this thing for Disney movies. That one didn't last long, and now I can't ever watch Emperor's New Groove again.
I can't remember the last time I shared this much with anyone.
Wow. I thought my love life was shitty.
Things go quiet, but it's not awkward anymore. I take a sip of water.
Ah, shit.
What?
The bride-to-be had one too many shots. The girls are back at the Airbnb now. Sorry. I know there's gotta be better rides for you right now. I'll make it up to you, though. You can grab a drink or something?
I really have to drive tonight, but I'd love to another time.
Gonna hold you to that.
She punches in the address for the Airbnb, and away we go. We drive for another 10 to 15 minutes, grooving along to my after-hours playlist. However, with the ending of each song, I can feel her energy wane. The car falls silent for a bit. Chime indicating a ride being added to the queue goes off. Quiet from the back seat. The awkwardness is back. As we get closer to the destination, I hear her moving around in the back seat. Checking the rearview mirror, I can see immediately that something is wrong. Seizure. What should I do? Pull over and elevate her legs? I realize quickly I have no idea what the fuck a seizure even looks like. Thankfully, we're on the residential street, so I can keep looking back between the road and the rear view. A high-pitched whine cuts through the music, and I decide now is probably a good time to pull over. I look for a spot, but the street is packed. The driver behind me is getting impatient and lays on the horn. I barely hear it over the shrieks coming in from inside the car. Screw it. Throw my flashers on and put Scarlet in park. The honking is incessant. I chance a quick look into the rear view before hopping out. The other driver has his window down and is yelling something at me, but I can't hear it over the screaming from inside my car. Kara's thrashing around in my back seat. The image of her head colliding with the window flashes across my mind's eye, and I rush to get the back door open. I catch movement out the corner of my eye. The other driver's out of his car and approaching me. His angry yelling is totally drowned out by Kara. The rage on the man's face is quickly replaced by animal fear as he turns and gets back into his car. Yeah, thanks for the help, asshole. I have a vague memory that you're supposed to stabilize a seizing person's head, but Kara's thrashing so violently, I don't even know where to start. Her eyes meet mine, and everything stops. Her gaze is bottomless. flinch back against a parked car. Her body is rigid, mouth open, but no sound comes out. For the first time, I hear the dogs barking frantically up and down the street. Is she still screaming? Is it just too high-pitched for me to hear? A voice comes crawling up her throat, and I try to move back further, but my back is right up against the car. She's drowning, the voice says. She's drowning, and she doesn't even know it. Kira slumps forward. I barely have time to react, but manage to catch her before her forehead collides with the pavement. Her body is much heavier than I expected it to be. Not to brag, but I'm in pretty good shape, and it was a struggle to get her upright and back into the car. When I stand up, I can see a few people silhouetted in doorways down the street. Not one of them says a thing, let alone offers to help. Fumbling for my phone, I say loudly, "I'm calling 911," before I realize that it's still resting in the dash stand. The people are still watching from their doorways. "I'm calling 911, I say, loud enough for them to hear. This may be Austin, but we're still in Texas, and a black man lifting up an unconscious white woman into his car is never a good look. Thankfully, Kara chooses this moment to regain consciousness. I breathe a sigh of relief as her eyelids flutter, and she stares up at me, panicked but normal. Whatever was thrashing around in the back seat of Scarlet is gone, and Kara's back.
She's drowning.
She looks up at me, tears gathering in corners of her eyes.
Do you want me to call you an ambulance?
Kara just looks confused and shakes her head. I take a look around the neighborhood. The people have gone back inside to their lives.
Where do you want to go?
Kara shrugs. What the hell is going on? I can't think of anywhere to go, and Kara is silent in the back seat. So, I take her to this late-night coffee place I end up at a lot. We sit with our mugs in our silence for what feels like a long time. This probably isn't what she had in mind when she offered to go out for drinks, but here we are.
Can we leave? And if it's okay with you, can we go back to your place?
After everything that happened, she wants to go back to my place.
Are you sure?
Kara just nods. I nod back and head for the car. This time she sits up front. I put on a different playlist, something more mellow and drifting. Nothing happened that night. We just sat up in the living room, her on the couch, me on the floor, music ebbing and flowing between silences. I must have fallen asleep at some point because when I woke up on the floor, body stiff from restless dreams I couldn't remember, Kara was gone. I locked the front door and crawled into bed to catch a few hours of precious sleep before I had to go back on the road again. The Texas heat is a tyrant, and even time slows in its grip. I find myself in the mindless drift of ferrying people to and from the airport, though I don't remember leaving the house. Just what the hell happened last night? What was it that Kara kept saying? She's something. I search my memory, but I can't find the words. What was it? She's...
Cyrus?
Yeah.
So how long have you been driving rideshare?
I want to tell them it feels like forever, but I don't. About 5 years.
Hey, partner. It's Kara. Thanks for looking after me last night. Everybody else made it home safely, too. Well, almost everyone. Heather's still unaccounted for, but I'm sure she's fine. She's always been the wild card of the group. Yeah, she'll probably turn up at brunch with some crazy story about watching the sunrise from the Bat Bridge or skinny dipping in Barton Springs. Either way, I still owe you that drink, so shoot me a text sometime. Happy trails.
Thank you for riding with Imp. Don't forget to subscribe and rate your driver 5 stars. Episode 1 featured Corey M. Crosdale as Cyrus, Emily Hatch as Kara, Jeff Gleason as the passenger. Episode 1 was written by Corey M. Crosdale and Kirk Johnson. Audio and music production by Jeff Gleason. The voice of Imp is Leslie H. Imp is a production of the Schemes Come True Network. Imp, we'll change the way you think about rideshare.